12:12-19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
All right, thank you. Good morning, Lifeway Church. Thank you so much for everyone who were able to join us today. And thank you so much for everyone who is watching online. I know, I don't look like Billy. This is Paul. I'm serving here as one of the leaders here in Lifeway Church, Paul Tulare. Thank you so much again for this opportunity, for letting me share God's word. It doesn't matter who is standing here. It's always God's word that kind of like does something in us. So I pray once again before I go into today's chapter that God would lead us in our time today, and we all may hear from him. Wow, I love Martha's portion. Just like Emmanuel, my son, he is excited like for that time. He just running like wherever he is to the TV, and he just listens to the whole story. Martha kind of like really did she do every day like good job on explaining. As she says, like, yeah, the whole city is in uproar. He can do mighty miracles, right? He can give sight to someone who is blind, and he can create and provide food, even raise the dead to life. Will Christ, Messiah, do more miracle signs than this? That's what crowds are wondering, as we saw in John chapter 7. He is our Messiah. He is our long-awaited King. That day, the last week of the Sunday, the last week of that Sunday when Jesus was here, Jews thought their long-anticipated moment was here. And they are greatly excited, and they are welcoming this King. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. The King of Israel. Everyone came to know, especially because this time all the Jews are here to celebrate the Passover. Jesus received their homage. He said, he even said, like, if they don't shout, the stones will shout. He received their homage. Now everyone are eager to see what King has to say. What king is going to do? Is he going to establish the kingdom now? Because all the Jews are here? But their excitement didn't last long. They're in this moment where the king is saying something really strange. First of all, he's not working with the leaders that they know. We know the leaders are trying to kill him. And Jesus himself is saying something really strange. He's not talking about how he's going to conquer, how he's going to overthrow the Roman rule, how is his agenda to establish his kingdom. He's talking about glorification, but at the same time, he's talking about death. He says in verse 23 of chapter 12, "The hour has come, Son of Man, to be glorified. But as for me, I am lifted up from the if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate what kind of death he was about to die. Crowd is, wait a minute, is he a king? And then they said to Jesus in verse 34 of John chapter 12, verse 34, "We have heard from the law that Messiah will remain forever. How can you say Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Why are they confused? What are they missing that day, that Palm Sunday? What's the disconnect? This brings us to our first thought of today: mystery around the king's arrival. Remember, they're not asking who is the Son of Man. They're asking who is this Son of Man that Jesus is talking about, the one who will be lifted up. Because they know about the Son of Man that their prophets have prophesied. They're looking to that Son of Man all along. In Daniel chapter 7, prophet Daniel says about something, a vision that he saw. He says, "Behold, on clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. His dominion is an everlasting dominion." They know this prophecy about Son of Man. And Jesus himself, he used Son of Man as a title pointing to himself more than any other titles. He is clearly identifying himself with the Son of Man that they know from this prophecy in Daniel chapter 7. The one who will have ultimate kingdom, dominion, and glory. But Jesus knew something else that this Son of Man has to do, which is also written in prophecy by prophet Isaiah. He says, "Behold my servant." In 52 of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah says, "See, my servant will prosper. He will be exalted." But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. Later on, Isaiah prophesied in chapter 53, "He willingly poured out his life to death, and he was counted among the transgressors." Jesus knew that he was the Son of Man. He took the form of a servant that Isaiah was prophesying. Servant is going to extend his rule too, but in a total unconventional way, through suffering and through dying. This is what Jesus is revealing to Jews. When he said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, not on a throne, but on a cross." This is why he also says, "My soul is deeply troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But this is the very reason I came." But why did Jesus come like this? what does he have? Why does he have to take this form of a servant instead of a mighty Son of Man? This brings us to our next point. Mission of the king's arrival. Why he came? Why he took this form of a servant? In John chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, "Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of the world, Satan, will be cast out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." These two verses reveal the mission of Jesus' first arrival. First, the king is here, but instead of overthrowing man's rule, just like Jews are expecting, he is attacking the authority of someone called the ruler of the world, Satan. He's not bringing changes in the political order, but he is going to change something in the spiritual order. Now, the ruler of this world will be cast out. Ruler of the world has two great strongholds which he is using to keep everyone in darkness and in bondage. First, sin. Our very own weakness to disobey God, to choose right, to choose darkness. We are weak, and that's sin. But we are weak from the day one. Satan was given dominion because of our weakness. And the second is death. The fear of dying. It's never ending. Last week, Don explained us the death, how Jesus is resurrection and life. But death has its power over human beings. We know, like last year, everyone have seen the reality of death. Everyone came close. Personally, I came close too. My family suffered death. Three of my close relatives, my mom including, seen death. But King is here to destroy the strongholds of sin and death and cast the ruler of the world. He nailed our sin to the cross. And through his death and resurrection, he liberated us from the fear of death. Now we can say, death is not final. Woo-hoo. I'm going to see my loved ones. How? Because King destroyed the stronghold of death. I thought of explaining this more, but then I realized, let God's word do the explanation. So as Billy says, read it slowly. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 2, starting from verse 14. I want you to be there and as I read and explain what King is doing. Let God's word talk to you. Hebrews chapter 2, starting from verse 14. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son of Man also became flesh and blood. For only as human being could he die. Only by dying he could break the power of devil, who has the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to fear of dying. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. And then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away sins of the people. Only this way, not the way of as a son of man, but as a suffering servant. He is still a son of man. It was necessary for him to take the form of a servant to release us from sin and death. The second mission was to draw people to himself. People who believed in him. People who can overcome the sin and death. They can say no to sin, which is opposite. We are weak to disobey God. We are weak to choose darkness. But here, a people being drawn to Jesus who can say no to sin and who can defy the power of death. Death is not the final say. In verse 36, it says, we who have become children of light. He's drawing people. He's creating this kingdom of light. People who are participating in this, who are drawn to him, have this foresight of the future glory, a life with God, but is experienced now here. But this brings us to our ultimate question. How does one enter into this experience? What is Jesus saying? This brings us to our final point, the mandate from the king. What does it actually mean to believe? I struggle with this question myself a lot. People say, believe. Is it just saying a small prayer? Is just having this information about King or Jesus? No. King has one mandate. And we see that in this. It's really simple. Only one mandate, simple mandate, but a shattering one, a very profound one. It is a decision to follow. Wait, what? That's it? Yes. It's your decision to follow. It's our decision to follow him, to enter into this kingdom of light. He's not giving us a bunch of rules. He's not giving us a bunch of things. Okay, do this, do this, do this, so that you will become children of light. No. He's saying, decide to follow. Jesus is saying something else about this decision as well. I want to read chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. John chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. The one who loves his life will lose it. And the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Anyone who serves me, he must follow. Jesus is telling, it's not a simple decision, but it's a decision that we need to make to follow him with everything, either all in or all out. you decide to follow him with every aspect of your life, or if you love your life, you will lose it for eternity. It's sometimes I'm amazed at how casually we'll take this decision. We understand when someone is taking a decision like, okay, Martha earlier, she pointed out about the Seahawks winning, right? They decide to go for a Super Bowl. How about if that decision was like, okay, let's decide to win Super Bowl and every Sunday, let's practice. Do you think they will be winning Super Bowl? We understand it when it comes to our earthly pursuits. We understand about the decisions that we make. Our life is all about decisions. But here is the ultimate decision. Here is this ultimate decision that King is saying, whoever wants to serve me, follow. Wherever I am, so that he will also be. Every aspect, your relations, your vocation, whatever you're doing, you're pursuing, whatever it is. You know what? I even say like this. I made this resolution. Even every conversation, you decide to follow. Even in every conversation. Here is another interesting thing about Jesus, what he's saying. He is not ordering. King is not ordering people, hey, you should decide to follow me. But he is pleading. He is crying out. No wonder why we take this casually. Because King is not ordering. It's not a order, government order to follow. It's a cry. John chapter 12, verse 44, it says, Jesus cried out, the one who believes in me believes not in me, but the one who sent me. The one who sees me sees him. I have come as a light to the world, so everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my word, I don't judge him. Because I have not come to judge, but to save the world. Boy, while preparing this, I spent on this verse so long, for so much time. Wait a minute, he is a king. He's not ordering, but if you reject him with your casual approach, he still says, I don't judge you. I'm not saying anything. I still pursue you. I still implore you. I still plea you to follow. You can reject it because you are not making this decision to be all in. He's not here to condemn. It's amazing how many preachers today, we hear a lot of other preachers, use the condemnation as their tool. But King is not condemning. Today, this could be the thing that you are hearing. King is not here to condemn you. He is asking for your all in to save you. You know what's the other cool or the great ultimate thing about this decision is? It's an eternal one. Earlier I talked about how we understand the earthly pursuits. But what about the eternal aspect of this decision that you are making? Please consider. I want to conclude with this. Have you decided to receive Jesus as King? Have you yielded to God's rule in your life? You might be hearing this Palm Sunday, whether you are here in the room or you are here in the watching us online. You might be hearing this for the first time. Wait a minute. This King here is demanding one mandate to follow, and he's not ordering, but pleading. This could be the first time you're hearing this. I implore you, I also plead with Jesus to decide. If you are a Christian here, you say, I know Jesus. I also implore you to reconsider if every aspect of your life is under his rule or not. Every relationship that you have, every pursuit that you have, is it self-oriented or is it God-oriented or King-oriented? If it's not, I'm not condemning you. King is not condemning you. In fact, he says, follow me. Work with him. Work with him in every aspect. See what King has to say related to whatever it is. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Here is another alarming verse in this chapter, verse 35. Jesus said, light will be with you only a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness does not overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. He is going to come as the Son of Man. He is going to establish his earthly kingdom. And every authority that you see now will be subjected to him. He will come. He is going to establish his earthly kingdom. But little longer. Light will be with you little longer. The point that you need to make the decision might be a little short. Walk while you have the light. Today, if you are hearing this, and if Holy Spirit is stirring in you, I would say decide, because light will be with you a little longer. Don't let darkness overtake you. Don't let darkness overtake you. When his kingdom comes, when he establishes his kingdom here, only those who decided to follow him now, who have his rule now, will be part of it. Will be part of it. We saw how prophets have prophesied about, and we saw what was coming and what happened in Jesus' life. Prophet Isaiah, Prophet Daniel, they said these things about Jesus. But I want to take you to the future prophecy as well. I want you to read with me from Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9 onwards. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And angels joined along with the elders and creatures. They fell face down before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." Here, Revelation talks about this, gives us the glimpse of this glorious Palm Sunday celebration. People with the palm branches in their hands are going to sing, "Blessing! Salvation belongs to our God." That day, Jews were confused. Jews rejected. After so many days, after so many years, after so many centuries, we stand awaiting the same fulfillment of that promise for Son of Man to be coming. Will you decide to be there along with joining the angels and people, others who have decided to be part of that glorious Palm Sunday celebration? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, oh, how humbly you came to us, how humbly you plead us to follow. We praise you, Lord. You're not condemning us, you're not putting us down. You are here to save us. You came to save us. You're here today imploring people here in the reach of my voice to do the same, to follow you, to work with you. And this is eternal. This is eternal life, your word. Lord, whoever is here, hearing these words, I pray that you would touch their heart, stir in their heart, help them to see what it really is. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day. As we look forward to that glorious celebration, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to be part of it. You would help us, empower us with your Holy Spirit to say no to sin and no to darkness. Be the children of light. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the message. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. I commit everyone who is deciding to follow you. Help them.